Welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. We help business creators like you win at the game of business and marketing so you can thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion and make a difference for your community, market, and audience. Please take a moment and visit our website, www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. You'll find hundreds of episodes covering a breadth and depth of topics relevant to you as a business creator, and links to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. And now, here's today's episode. Let's get started.
My name is Adam Homey. I am your host, and I am honored once again by your wise decision to tune in and invest in yourself today. The Business Creators Radio Show takes you to those places where you have those aha moments and those mastermind meetings that can change your trajectory or at least bring you a little bit closer to your intersection of your brilliance and your passion. So as we have our conversation here today, I'm sitting out here on my balcony here in beautiful Las Vegas, known to some on some days as the hottest city in America. And we are going to have a conversation about something called contextual content creation and how to win in the digital age through contextual content creation. We have somebody with us who I've had a chance to check him out a little bit. He's a very, very interesting person. He's got an approach to this. I think you're really going to like him. He's got quite a pedigree too. So there's so much I can say about him, but I'm only going to be able to share the first paragraph because it's so impressive. I'm not even sure I'm worthy to be here in his presence. And this is my show. So his name is Vladimir Botsvadze. And he is ranked as the number one global marketing, social media, and retail thought leader by Thinkers360 in 2023, with over 130,000 followers across his social media platforms. Vladimir is a world-renowned digital transformation and social media influencer and keynote speaker who initiates change, drives growth, and positions brands as market leaders in their industries. He has more than 15 years of international experience with a proven track record and has enjoyed an outstanding career to top of the technology industry. He's also been described as a pioneer across the globe by the Exelon magazine. Wow. So we are going to just dive right in here. Vladimir, come on in. The weather's fine.
Adam, thank you so much for inviting me to your podcast, and I'm excited to share my best insights. So I hope that your listeners will capitalize on my high impact and actionable strategies to drive their success, you know?
Well, not only is it about the listeners, I'm one of the listeners. Not only am I the host, I'm right there in the front row with my pad of paper out because I may gain something that can benefit me. It's one of the beauties of podcasting is you get to have some of the most interesting conversations. So I read off about one-fifth of your official bio, and our visitors can see the rest of it on our website. But what we'd like to do here before we dive into this whole thing about contextual content creation and some of the other points you'd like us to cover is let's pull back the curtain and have you tell us a bit in your own words, a bit about your journey and what's brought you to where you are today, serving business creators from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion.
Yeah. Adam, you know, it's a great question. Thank you. You know, I come from Georgia, from Europe, you know, and I moved to the United States at the age of 18 when in 2006 in Washington, D.C. I got work permits from the State Department. Then I had trainings and I was sent with my friend to Manassas, Virginia to work for 2 months. And afterwards, I moved to New York City where, I mean, I lived for almost 2 months, you know, and this period truly laid a strong foundation for my success. And everyone sees who I am today. Successful, very driven, very motivated because of United States. And United States has been instrumental in my growth, hands down, because I started seeing the world faster, easier, clearer. I have made lifelong friends, long-standing business partnership with so many associations and establishments, you know. And of course, you know, then I worked afterwards. I moved to London when I was 22. I studied business marketing, you know, and I was working with 20 offices in downtown London. And, you know, I worked every day in my 20s That set me up for success in my early 30s. And when I was 22, 23, 24, in London, everyone was talking about Twitter and personal branding and social media community and creating content. And, you know, I hit the ground running. Literally, I quit the rat race. I attended some practical conferences in Dubai. And, you know, practical speakers truly inspired me just to go into overdrive on social media to build my presence. And it costs $0 literally to build your personal brand. And with a $0 budget and motivation, drive and persistent and sleepless nights, I have spearheaded one of the biggest personal brands, you know, on a shoestring budget. And content creation has been a linchpin of my growth, because I have created content that was in my followers' best interest and which I provided value, and communication dictates everything we do. And so I communicated, I provided value, and, you know, I built a trust, meaningful communities. You know, it's not just about building your followings and collecting your followers. No, I mean, I was showing gratitude every time someone was retweeting me, liking my posts, sharing my posts, retweeting me, you know. And, you know, I'm very grateful for small messages, and I believe that gratitude is the best attitude. So you need to show gratitude. You need to communicate. You need to how this life works, right? It is like a two-way street for me, because it should be mutual all the time. So there are so many like-minded entrepreneurs and great mentors on Twitter who follow each other. They exchange experiences, they inspire each other, and they build a multi-billion dollar companies together. And as you know, Twitter has been driving force behind the global startups, and we know that when Travis Kalanick was building Uber, he was hiring the first product marketing managers through Twitter. And for example, Ryan Graves replied to Twitter to Travis, and they met and they built Uber together. And it's just a great example that through networking you can become a billionaire. Through networking you can become a keynote speaker. Through networking you can become an investor. You know, and it's all about networking. You know, I believe, Adam, because formal education, it is water under the bridge, and the world is faster because of the internet. And if you see what is happening nowadays in the technology world, it's like Goliath versus David, because you know, David is a startup world, and Goliath is a corporate world. Because speed is a currency of business, and so many big corporations are disrupted because of the internet. And whoever disregards internet, like for example Netflix disregarded for example Blockbuster disregarded Netflix, and they just buy Netflix for $50 million, and they went out of business, you know. And you know, Airbnb disrupted hospitality brands, and Uber disrupted taxi services, and Amazon disrupted bookstores, and even Spotify disrupted music industry. So it's just an example that I think every industry is disrupted by the internet, startups, and whoever builds communities, whoever tells their stories, whoever creates contextual content, and whoever provides value wins in the long term. And the market is a decision maker. Market decides what is good and bad. And the market decided that I'm a world-renowned marketing keynote speaker and thought leader because I have always been close to my audience, and my social media community truly has put me on the global map, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So I love your story. I mean, you've certainly been around, and you have absolutely circulated to a degree that a lot of folks just simply don't. And, you know, I've seen so many paradigms shattered since I was growing up. As of right now, I'm 46 years old. So you can figure I was born in the mid 1970s. So you have an idea of when I went to school, when I went to college. And I've noticed how even it's not so much to say that so much has changed since then. It's more that a lot of the changes we're seeing now were already happening then, but I didn't see them at the time. Now, I'm not sure exactly what age cohort you're in. I can guess you're probably millennial age. Am I about right?
I'm 75 now. I'm 75, Adam.
Yeah. So you're basically right there in the millennial era. So yeah. I'm basically a millennial, except a couple years older. I'm on the cusp bottom end of Gen X. And the millennials in particular have that's very unique to that generation. And since I was on the cusp of it, it kind of affected me too. Although the benefits didn't arrive for me until I was really in college, is this is the first generation that had, from a relatively early age, consistent and reliable access to high-speed internet at a point where the search engines had gathered a significant amount of data. Yeah. So things that we formerly had to go through card catalogs and libraries to find, things we had to use microfilm to research, things mm-hmm. that could easily be hidden from us because it was difficult for us to search for facts that might contradict the narrative that we're being fed. So you hear about these millennials, oh, they're so entitled, they're so lazy, they're so self-centered. No. Actually, the millennials are some of the most passionate, dedicated, and for lack of a better phrase, hardworking people I've ever seen. The primary difference that I see between the millennials and, say, the older Gen Xers, the baby boomers, etc., is that they want to feel like there is a purpose, a benefit to society, or some sort of fulfillment in the work and the acts that they do.
Absolutely agree with you, Adam. You know, because, you know, the world is faster because of the internet. The internet is completely disturbing the way we brand and build businesses, you know, and everything shifts, you know, eyeballs go in different places, you know, and when I speak at global events, my audiences know much more than 99% of the people out there, because, you know, I always share practical, high impact and future proof insights with the world, because when they go back home, I want them to create content. And, you know, I just turned my side hustle into a profitable business. I was just tweeting. I was just blogging. I was just sharing my thoughts with the world, you know. And it cost me $0 to build my presence, you know, and no excuses, you know. Whoever strikes while the iron is hot wins in the long term, you know. And you know, I literally forgotten my idea to do my MBA in the United States, because you know, even what I have, I have left my comfort zone. I have been in growth mode, in learning mode, in the last 10 years, you know. And, you know, I'm now an award judge at Gartner Marketing Awards, you know. I advise advisory council of Harvard Business Review. I sit on the advisory board of United States AI Institute, you know. And, I mean, I have so many passionate roles because I love what I do, you know. And I mean, probably 95% of people don't love what they do, because we need to be passionate about what we do. And we should quit if we don't like something. We should quit and we should start doing something that we love. You know, that is a bedrock of growth. You know, and I think when I speak at global events, I inspire audiences to find their passion, to tell their stories, to quit the rat race and to start something meaningful in the long term. You know, and I mean, you know, I'm a long term thinker. I'm very patient. You know, I can keep my shirt on. And I know that if you are close to your audience, if you are a long-term thinker, if you reinvest every penny in my growth, I mean, I would love to mention this again, reinvesting every penny in your growth, because a penny saved is a penny earned when it comes to building meaningful business, you know. Luckily, I don't keep up with Genesis. I can see the big picture. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, and I know that if I put in the work, the results will come, you know.
Absolutely. So let's define this term, which is intriguing to me, this idea of what you call contextual content creation. Let's start by defining our terms and we'll grow out from there.
Yeah, I mean, context is a nuance that drives conversion, you know. I mean, context, it is a battle of context. not content. You know, Adam, everyone thinks that content is king. No, I mean, context is everything. Content is the alpha and omega of content that drives success, you know? So what is context behind content? That, for example, in my case, that I'm a storyteller, that I inspire audiences, that, you know, people are inspired by context. And we need to have strong context, you know, when we speak, when we provide value, when we share our thoughts with the world. So you know, a great example is Nike, right? Because Nike, if you check, for example, in 1988, Just Do It commercial changed Nike's business, you know, Just Do It commercial, because context is very strong behind Nike's content, you know, because you have emotional connection with Nike. For example, when you wear Nikes, you know that you will go faster, you will achieve more, you are more determined, you are more driven, you know. So this is a context that inspires us to have emotional connection with the brand, you know. And I inspire, for when I speak at Global Events, I motivate executives and marketing teams just to build stronger brand, you know. I mean, branding is everything. For example, branding is why Nike is Nike, right? Because Nike storytells, and not like Nike CEO comes to our house, knocks on our doors and asks us to buy Nike, right? No, Nike is not in sales mode. So we need to be, Adam, in a branding mode, marketing mode, you know? We need to be in storytelling mode. Every single day, we need to create contextual content to tell our stories, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So basically what you're saying is that it's not as much content, it's more context. That's what you're saying. Context is king. Am I getting that right?
Yes, exactly. So I mean, you know, when I speak at Global Events, I'm very straightforward at events, because I always address the elephant in the room. So I tell marketing teams, if you don't pay attention to current trends, you will not be in business in the 9 months, you know, because it's tough. The market is very tough. It's a keen competition everywhere. You know, dog-eat-dog world in business.
Yeah.
I mean, I have been invited as a judge to more than 9 global award ceremonies throughout the world. And from my first-hand experience, when I review and judge biggest projects of marketing teams, I can see their passion. I can see their drive, motivation. Whoever is close to audience, whoever provides value, whoever communicates, right? Whoever cares, because I think that care is the best marketing strategy. So whoever cares their consumers, right, online wins is a long term, you know. And you know that, for example, you know, when, for example, brands, how brands are going to entertain and build a meaningful relationship with their consumers through storytelling, through podcast series, through telling their stories, through communication. If they don't communicate, if they don't tell stories, then nothing great happens, you know. And for example, in Stockholm, a big telecommunication company, Ericsson, has like a five or six podcasts, you know, like a 5G podcast, IoT podcast, AI podcast. And this is a great way how Ericsson builds meaningful relationship with their consumers, you know, because through storytelling, through content creation, through providing value, you know. And you know, it's now or never for marketing teams worldwide to tell their stories, you know.
Yeah. I follow you completely. So tell us a bit more about your marketing process overall. You've given us some broad strokes of it. And what I love about your story is how you were able to use influence on social media as a means of transforming a side hustle into a lucrative business.
Yes. So, I mean, I inspire top global brands to put customers at the heart of everything they do. You know, I mean, it's not about advertising on offline marketing channels where consumers no longer spend their time, you know. So marketing is all about winning attention, Adam, you know. If big marketing teams and big marketing brands win consumers' attention across 8-10 social media channels, say win in the long term. You know, how these big corporations are going to survive in the age of disruption? How they are going to survive? You say they are going to survive through storytelling, through content creation, through hearing their consumers, through listening, through solving their consumers' problems online. You know, if someone, if a consumer is not satisfied on social media and he asks questions on Twitter, and if brands does not reply to consumer within 15 or 20 minutes, right? Then a brand loses a consumer, you know, because if you don't care, they will choose other brands who will care about them, you know. So what we see that so many brands still disregard the internet, still disregard social media, and they think that social media is about sharing the cat pics and dog pics and sharing your lunch pics. You know, it is the only way to be in the growth mode and to stay ahead of the curve. You know, and so many brands have gone out of business. I mean, so many brands. If you compare a Fortune 500 list 2002 and 2022, you will see it is as different as night and day. And right. among top 10 companies in 20 years ago, there was only two technology companies among top 10. Now, among top 10 companies, there are 7-8 technology companies. You know, and it's just a disruption. You know, whoever makes hay while the sun shines truly wins in the long term. You know,
absolutely. So in this, I mean, what we see is the internet today and social media. When I first became an entrepreneur, I started a side hustle in 2003. And I transformed that into a full-time business in 2005. Now, this was right around the time that MySpace was just becoming a thing. So I've seen all the platforms we take for granted today. I remember when I used to use this platform called The Facebook when I was about 25 years old, and I still wanted to hook up with the co-eds in college. I say that really not in jest. I'm actually coming out and saying it because the Facebook was originally conceived as a networking tool for college students to use and people who had recently graduated from students to keep in touch with alumni networks.
Yes. So Adam, Facebook was for college kids. Now Facebook is for grandparents, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, I remember when LinkedIn groups, all you had to do was have a half-decent LinkedIn group and you could grow $1 million business. And then about two acquisitions went through and the groups don't have the same potency that they used to unless you've been able to pivot with the times. And it's a lot more challenging. I built an entire business just off having a Facebook group and by participating in a handful of other groups. That was my entire social media. Yeah. I find that sometimes, and I'm actually looking for the answer to this riddle, I find that sometimes when I play a little less on social media, I end up getting a little more business. Have you ever heard of that phenomenon before?
Yeah, you know, well, I mean, internet has created so many renowned entrepreneurs. Oh, Adam, internet has created so many influencers, thought leaders, you know? I mean, I have met so many people, they have never read a book since grade four, and they have built multi-million dollar companies. Why? Because they capitalize on the power of the internet. They have capitalized on the power of social media, you know, and they have amassed millions of followers because of why? Because they have been in storytelling mode. They have been in growth mode instead of investing $200,000 in global MBAs, right? I think an MBA nowadays provides a negative ROI, and I don't care about MBA degrees. When I hire new people, I don't check out their MBA degrees. I don't check out their CV. You know, I Google them. I see their results. I see their LinkedIn, Twitter, their Facebooks, their Instagram, social media channels, Google results from page one to page 10. So I make decisions based on Google results, not their CVs or their MBAs or their, I mean, traditional resumes, you know, because everything has changed. Everything has changed, Adam, you know?
Yeah, I have not updated my resume since the year 2003. That was the year after I completed my own MBA. So I'm one of those people who can actually say that I have fully amortized my investment in my MBA and gotten a full return on investment on it. And it's real simple how that happened. Yeah. About 10 years of my entrepreneurial journey, I ended up getting a $30,000 contract. And at the time, it was the biggest contract I'd ever gotten because I had the three letters at the end of my name. And the prospective client was, although entrepreneurial, were somewhat of a corporate mind. And they thought, oh, well, this guy understands what it is we're looking for him to do, but he has some other layers to him too that all the other people, all the other agency owners, all the other online marketers and such don't have because they didn't have the MBA. So just off that, I amortized the entire investment in my master's in business administration just by signing on that dotted line and getting a payment wired to me. Everybody has their own story.
Yes, everyone has a story, and you know, every path has its paddle, you know, and it's obvious that success is not a straight road. It's a very zigzag. It's But you need to cope with everything, move forward, and to be optimistic, you know. And optimism has been the bedrock of my growth, because every time, you know, from the vantage point of the present, I have always been optimistic. I have always choose optimism, you know. I long term thinking, you know, and you know, when your surrounding is also very important, you know. You are a product of five people you hang out with, so you need to be choosy. You need to be finicky in your life. You need to surround yourself with smarter people, you know. And you know, when you are followed like a billionaire entrepreneurs from the United States, and you learn a great deal from them on a daily basis, you know. Because and I have been lucky that I have been at the right time, in the right places, with the right people, you know. And you know, I have, you know, even in childhood, I was very diligent. I was burning the midnight oil. I was dreaming about exploring the United States. I was learning. I was very passionate about learning English, you know, math, geography, and you know, just I have made my dreams come true because I give everything my best shot. I do my level best, and I know that if I hit the ground running, I will hit the bullseye. You know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And where I was headed is, you know, I've seen some differences in how an education can be valuable. So when I was in my state mandated education, when I was an undergraduate and I was in graduate, I was so focused on getting really good grades. And you know what the funny thing is that I don't think anybody's really asked me about my grades since I was filling out an application for college. And if I remember, college really didn't have a whole lot of other questions for me after I was able to confirm that between the money my parents had saved up and gifted to me and what I was able to secure in student loans, I'd be able to pay the tuition. After that, they didn't really have any questions about my viability as a student. It's like, welcome aboard.
Yes. So, you know, Adam, you know, even I have navigated this digital transformation through my courage, sleepless nights, and hard work, you know, and nobody has never asked me if I had like MBA from the United States or something like that, you know, because
yeah,
it's all about your courage. It's about your energy. It's all about your passion. It's all about that we live in a digital age nowadays. So what is your CV? Twitter is your CV. Twitter is your CV, you know. LinkedIn is your CV. Instagram is your CV. What you publish online is going to bring you success tomorrow.
One of the things that I discovered during the 3 years that I was a corporate employee and I moved from one job to the next, I think twice, is I found out that at the second of the three jobs, my current supervisor had called my previous supervisor whose company that I had parted with on such bad terms that I wrote about the experience and my contribution to the anthology Journeys to Success in Millennial Edition. I celebrate the day that I was forced to resign from that company, April 27th, as my second birthday. And I was thinking, you can't do that. I didn't put them down as a reference. Yeah. And then I found out real quickly, anybody can ask a question of anybody.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Adam, you know, we live in the most opportunistic time ever. The most opportunistic. It is the easiest time in the history of mankind to be successful, to hit the ground running, to download, to learn. You can learn anything through YouTube. YouTube is our university. If you spend a few years on learning something practical, then literally you will have the Midas touch in the long term. I can say this from my personal experience, that I can learn something from YouTube, from my colleagues. You know that if you want to learn marketing, you can learn marketing from YouTube. If you want to become a fitness instructor, you can learn how to be a fitness instructor from YouTube. You know, so when there is a will, there is a way. You know, if you are in excuses, you will never learn anything.
Yeah, I struggled with higher level mathematics all throughout school. I talk about this on many other episodes here, so I'm not going to belabor too much time here. But what I want to really get to is the point of when we went through our educations.
Yes.
Vladimir, do you remember taking classes and thinking, why do I have to take this class? This has nothing to do with what I'm actually going to be in my life. And that's how I felt about mathematics. And people would say, well, but what are you going to do when you don't have a calculator? Well, yeah, today, basically, the search bar of Google is a calculator. You mean you can do scientific equations with that thing. What happens when you need to do taxes? I'll hire an accountant. What happens when you need to build something? Well, I'll use tolls or I'll hire a contractor. See, this is what I think gets missed. And the reason I'm bringing this up is I'm kind of piggybacking off what you said, is I think there's so much emphasis in our educational system. And this is going to come back to the content marketing thing in just a second, that we force feed students at all levels material that really is not and likely will never be relevant to them. So looking back at this, why did I have to take algebra? Why did I have to take geometry? Why did I have to take trigonometry? I'm no good at that stuff and I hate it. That being said, if I were to later develop an interest in one of those topics, or I ended up moving into a career field where that type of measurement level mathematics was essential, why, I can go online and take a course.
Yes.
And I'll probably ace that course, because at that point, my brilliance and passion will be merging, because I want to know that, because I want to use it.
Yes. Adam, necessity is a mother of invention. Elon Musk is self-made. Elon Musk is self-made. I am self-made. Everyone I know in high places is self-made. Everyone, you know? Uh-huh. These people have chosen optimism, long-term thinking, self-education, you know? And, you know, it is easiest time nowadays just to connect with the world, you know? And it costs $0 to have a Tumblr account. It costs $0 to have a Twitter account and to post. And it costs $0 to publish your some videos on YouTube, right? And for example, I have shared 50 videos on YouTube, and I have been signed with more than 25 speakers agencies throughout the world, you know, and my 1 hour keynote speech is estimated in the ballpark of $40,000 and $50,000, and I'm working with agencies from Los Angeles to Sydney. Because I shared some videos at no cost on YouTube. The world discovered me, they believe in what I'm doing, now they work with me, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So bring this back to what's taught in schools and what's taught in education programs. Aside from, I think we need to bring home ec back, and I think we need to teach people financial literacy, like all the standards. I also believe that we really need to teach people higher level communication skills. It just astounds me that I don't know of any college where you can take a course about on neurolinguistic programming, for example. I don't know, and maybe I haven't been in school for a while, but as far as the social media stuff, are they teaching the level of conversation you and I are having?
Yeah. You know, Adam, it is easy to connect the dots between Twitter and communication, you know? Uh-huh. Twitter is the only social media network left where conversation happens. You know, you can jump into any conversations and you can share your thoughts, your insights with the world, you know? You can jump into any conversation, you know? Twitter is like a cocktail party for the business world. Twitter uh-huh. is a cocktail. Yeah, so communication is a key to Twitter success, communication. If we don't communicate, nothing great happens. Communication dictates the world, what's going on in the world. Whoever communicates, whoever tells their stories, whoever shows gratitude, whoever builds meaningful relationships wins in the long term, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So overall, what do you think, if somebody were to ask you to write down three skills,
yes,
the top three skills need to be a successful entrepreneur, what would your list be? So let's do yours and then I'll put one out there.
First of all, be consumer centric. Second, be experimental. And third, think in the long term.
Okay. Mine are number one, embrace failure.
Yes.
Fail early, fail often. The second is the ability to look at a cloud and invest in the silver lining, because silver is a precious metal. And the third is the ability, when necessary, to quickly pivot and amend an earlier statement and amend an earlier decision. This is something that I actually learned a long time ago, is that, you know, when we, you know, there's, and this comes in many cases from our childhood, that if we're wrong about something, we have to go through this whole thing where we admit that we're wrong. Or if we do something bad, we have to say, I'm sorry, and I'll never do it again. Well, let's look at that one for a second. Are you really sorry? Or are you saying it to get out, to end the conversation? And are you sure you'll never do it again? You're sure you're never going to find yourself in that situation? You're sure that there's something underlying that's not going to make the same result happen again? It goes way beyond declarations of intent. Are you sure that you weren't justified in the first place?
Yes. You know, Adam, you know, first of all, visualization is very important. You know, we need to predict the scenario. We need to predict the scenario in our heads. We should never lose self-belief. We need to stay calm and focus on the big picture. We need to keep reminding ourselves why we are there for the reason. And we are, for example, and we always need to try to imagine ourselves as a winner, you know. And and you know, it is all about how you talk to yourself.
Right. Yeah, it's funny how the things that we say, we also hear, and they become ingrained in our patterns of thinking. This is an area where I've done a lot of work, and it's an ongoing thing. And I would say that a fourth trait to be successful as an entrepreneur is to recognize that you will likely not either reach a goal or live up to your own standards sometimes, and to be comfortable with that. You mentioned Elon Musk earlier, and I'm going to paraphrase something that Elon said. I may be off by the numbers a little bit, but you'll get the meaning of it as we're listeners. And basically what he says, let's say that there's something you want to accomplish that you're told is going to take 10 years to accomplish. Well, why not try and get it done in 6 months? See, you probably won't accomplish it in 6 months, but by trying, you'll be a lot further ahead than the person that just assumed it would take 10 years.
You know what Elon says, that if other people work 40-hour work weeks and you work 100-hour work weeks, you know, in 4 months, you will achieve what it takes for them a year to achieve, you know? So so if you truly are in execution mode, if you find a way, literally you will achieve faster than what it takes them to achieve, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So how do you define success?
A very interesting question. You know, Adam, you know, success for me is all about being happy, you know. I mean, if I'm not happy, I'm not successful. So I'm happy that I choose optimism, that I love what I do. And I'm very delighted every time to go into overdrive, to be passionate, to wake up with determination. So if I'm not happy, then what is the reason, right? Then what you are doing, that you are wasting your life, right? So success for me is all about being happy, be empathetic, giving back to society, inspiring people. And even I have been ranked number one in the world since 2019. It's not my biggest achievement, you know. My biggest achievement is that I'm happy that I give back. So people email me that they watched me and they build their businesses and they became confident. So if people become confident after my talks, that is my success, you know.
Yeah, certainly. And as far as content marketing, let's come back to that. And what's interesting about our conversations, sometimes they bounce back and forth and they pivot a little bit, just like if you and I were sitting together in a cafe. The way our show is structured is we invite the listener to picture themselves being the third person sitting at a table at a mastermind conversation, just sort of sitting back, taking things in, looking for their own inspirations to come up as a result of what they absorb. So going back to content marketing and contextual content marketing, I know some of our listeners love gadgets and apps and things like that. So what are some of the top tools you're currently using for your business endeavors?
Well, you know, I believe in putting eggs into different baskets, because I believe that a mouse that has one hole is quickly taken.
Yep.
And we need to depend on several channels, not only one, because there are so many marketing experts and advisors who tell you that, you know, just depend on LinkedIn and put all your eggs into LinkedIn. It doesn't work, you know? So we need to have different revenue streams through different channels. And, you know, it's just about curiosity, Adam. We need to be curious, you know, and this formal education wants us to forget curiosity, and we need to follow the crowd and to be in survival mode. But conversely, we need to create our path and to be in the growth mode. We need to be curious. We need to be open-minded. We need to show more interest in what is happening in the world and to adapt to new trends to win in the long term, you know. And, you know, content marketing is just the most passionate field in my world, because, you know, variety is the spice of life. So the more content you create, the more successful you become. So my example, my success story demonstrates a great example why contextual content creation has been a backbone of my growth, right? Because with a $0 budget, drive, motivation, sleepless night, persistence, and my expertise has been put on a pedestal throughout the world, because they see my passion, they see my determination. They don't check out my degrees from Stanford or Harvard or top universities. They see my Twitter, they see my LinkedIn, they see my Google results, they see me on YouTube, they watch me, I provide value, you know, and I give back, you know. And it's never about me. It's always about them. It's not about that. It's always about them, because I want to provide value. And I'm not selfish. I'm very selfless Adam on social media, because if I had been selfish, then I would not have been able to build such huge followings across other social media channels. Because, you know, I mean, my posts have been viewed millions of people throughout the world, you know, in more than 100 countries, you know. And so I'm very grateful for small mercies that I have received great recommendations from top executives from different companies. They discovered practicality in marketing. They started creating content, you know. And we need. I believe that we need to be practitioners. You know, what does it mean that we if we use uh, effectively these social media channels to accelerate our success. We are practitioners, you know, so I always practice what I preach, you know.
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, we're getting close to the end here, actually. And basically, you know, we've had kind of a round robin here about how social media and contextual content marketing fit into various things we do. And we could argue that our conversation itself is a variation of contextual content creation. The context being a mastermind level conversation about where people gather and disseminate information and through what channels. So although we defined that term contextual content creation, I don't want to say broadly, but let's say more generally, the fact is, and tell me if you disagree with this, and if so, why, I think we've actually kind of exemplified it.
Yes. You know, I mean, we need to have presence across probably 5-6 social media channels, you know. We need to have presence on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on YouTube, on Instagram, on TikTok, and Facebook, of course, a Facebook page. So we need to, I mean, I would advise everyone to publish like 15, 20 pieces of content across 5-6 social media channels every single day.
All right.
So I'm not asking them to publish 100 pieces of content. Of course, when I speak at big organizations, I advise marketing teams to publish 100 pieces of content because they need to have podcasts, they need to create content, they need to capitalize like 10 social media channels. But we are human beings, you know, and moderation, everything. I believe that moderation is very, very nice word in marketing. So 15, 20 pieces of content across 5-6 social media channels would guarantee us a long-term success, you know?
Okay, so basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to halfway turn the tables on myself, because the primary business I'm in right now is working with entrepreneurs to launch their podcast as their key networking, client attraction, and celebrity expert branding tool. Now, you do a fair amount of podcast guesting. I've had a chance to check you out. I'm aware that you've been interviewed in a number of different places. I'm not sure if you have a podcast of your own, but overall, where do you see podcasting fit into all of this?
Podcasting, it is like a hottest ticket nowadays, Adam, you know. Mm-hmm. even you know, when I'm a judge and when I review biggest projects, when they have podcast or a series, literally they win awards because of content creation, because they provide value, because they publish information, you know. So whoever positions themselves as media company truly win attention. So marketing is all about winning attention, Adam. So how brands are going to win attention, right? If they are focused on sales and sending sales pitches, literally this way does not guarantee that they win people's hearts and minds, right? Because they need to entertain audiences, right? So podcasting is a good best way nowadays to tell your story.
What I like about it is it's, to me, one of the easiest forms of content creation. You don't have to stare at a blank screen and think, what was that inspiration I had while I was driving the other day? Why can't I remember it? Dag nabbit, it was brilliant. And you also don't have to be in that pattern of, let's say you're creating a piece of content, you're disseminating over 5 or 6 or 7 different platforms in a day. Well, you're going to adapt that content a bit because every platform is different. And beyond that, what happens on days where you just can't think of anything? With podcasting, whether you're hosting or guesting, you don't have to think that hard.
You know, from my experience, I can say that podcasting is a number one marketing strategy in 2023, podcasting, you know, because there are 450 million podcast users nowadays in the world, and podcasting is on the rise. And, you know, I mean, even I see the biggest brands in the world have podcasts because they are curious. And, you know, even when I'm invited to workshops, masterclasses, and seminars of big corporations through agencies I work with, you know, even they are inspired. They are inspired to tell their stories through podcast series, you know. You know that if you create webinars, webinar, creating webinars is more expensive, you know, webinars. So podcasting is more cost effective, you know, that it does not cost you so much money to, for example, have like a 5-6 podcast episodes per month, you know. So it's all about curiosity. So whoever shows more curiosity wins in the long term, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I could not agree with that more. So as we wrap up here, I want to extend on your behalf an invitation that you asked me to share with the audience. So I've had a chance to check out your website. I'm going to give the URL in just a second. And you have a lot of great information on there. And your invitation is you want to give away some of your best advice. And you also are great connectors. So you can go to the website and you can find different ways to connect with Vladimir. So if you, as the listeners, feel that Vladimir is somebody who should be a part of your mastermind circle or is worth a conversation, he is probably one of the more accessible people you'll ever find if you just scroll the bottom of the page. Holy moly, he's got a lot of different ways to get a hold of him. So whatever works best for you. And to find that, simply go to the website that's named after him. It's simply VladimirBoatsVodzi.com. And I'm going to spell that for you for those of you who are listening or out running, jogging, and hunting. It's VladimirBoatsVodzi.com. I'm going to do that for you once more. VladimirBoatsVodzi.com. So check that out. If you reach out to Vladimir, be sure to mention you heard him on the Business Creators Radio Show. I don't get a dime for it, but I do want Vladimir to know that we were able to share some connections and spread the love a little bit. So Vladimir, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an honor, and believe me, an education.
Thank you, Adam, so much.
We trust you enjoyed today's episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. Check out our previous and upcoming episodes on our website at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. While you're there, be sure to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.